This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and I really am excited today to talk about something that I'm very passionate about with someone who really knows a lot about this. Her name is Millie Fox, and she's a manifestation expert and coach who really helps people live their juicy and delicious vision board lives. She's a two-time author, and she's created this phenomenal pretty in pink manifestation practice that is effective, user-friendly, and chock full of wonderful tips for how to create your own manifestation practice that aligns with your values and supports your mental and emotional well-being. She's created a guide, and it's excellent, and it's called MEAT, and we'll tell you all about what that stands for, that acronym, very soon, that will give you a tangible way to help you figure out the exact steps that you need to take in order to get you closer to your best life. Before we meet her, let me tell you a little bit more about her. Millie Fox, as just mentioned, is a manifestation expert and coach. You can usually find her reading, making reels, TikToks, or quoting Brené Brown, who we love her on this show as well. Her mission is to end generational trauma and really raise the collective consciousness through teaching people how to put their manifestation on autopilot. Millie, I'm so delighted to have you here. So glad we could make it work. Welcome to Finding Your Bliss.
Thank you so much, Judy, for having me. I'm really glad to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here. Everything happens in the right way, right? Like, this was the right day to do this. Like, it always aligns. Millie, why does mainstream manifestation teachings often fall short? There's something about, it's like people get it, but they don't quite get it. They can't quite sink their teeth into it. And I will say about your whole program, I feel like it's different and you can. Can you tell us more about why the normal teachings are often a little bit ineffective?
Yeah, it's very nice sounding, right? When you watch the movie The Secret, for example, or, you know, you dive into some of the teachings that are very just simple in a way that's oversimplified for life, right? So what I'm talking about is when they say, just decide what you want, think the thoughts of already having it and feel the feelings of already having it. And then it's going to, you know, land in your life. And it's that simple. But the fact of the matter is being a human is very complex and multifaceted. And we encounter all sorts of things in our day to day that mainstream manifestation just doesn't give us the tools to navigate. So myself entering the world of mainstream manifestation, actually, I grew up knowing, you know, a bit about it. My dad gifted me Abraham Hicks tapes, or, well, they were actually CDs way back when I was still, I think, in my teens. And I loved the idea of it. But then when I got more serious about wanting to really create my life, I ran into all these issues because I am a recovering perfectionist, right? And I wanted to just check all the boxes and have everything kind of fall into my lap. And I was like, oh, this isn't working. What am I doing wrong? Or what's wrong with me? That's where it led me to. And I was like, people must be feeling the same way that I'm feeling, and we need to address this.
Totally. Absolutely. It's funny, like normally with manifestation, I think, you know, if you have your vision board and your affirmations, you're ready to go. Or years ago, there used to be a book called Write It Down to Make It Happen by Henriette Clouser. And it was like, okay, Dilbert, write down 20 times a day, I will be syndicated in major markets. And of course, he ended up being syndicated in 2000 major markets. And you think, that's it. I can just be like Dilbert and do that and it's going to work. But it's a little more complicated. Before we get all into how manifesting has changed your life and to really take a deep dive into your incredible Meet Guide, And also this wonderful book that you co-authored, Manifestation Codes Beyond Law of Attraction, also written by Lisa Fernandez, in which you're one of the contributors, and you do a wonderful, very meaty chapter on all of this. And in it, you talk a lot about how your whole world imploded in September of your grade 11th year, and that led to your journey into learning how to manifest your dream life. Can you tell us first what happened to your stepfather and how this impacted you as a 16-year-old girl? Because it's quite an incredible story. And it was like the bottom had to fall out before you could even start thinking about any of this stuff.
Oh, yeah. I guess the bottom has fallen out a couple times in my life, but I think it's all divine and meant to be. But that particular time, my stepdad, he did pass away suddenly in our home from a heart attack. It was totally unexpected and quite traumatic. And after that point, my mom, who had already struggled herself with a lot of substance abuse issues and mental health issues throughout my childhood, she really checked out, I would say. Wow. At that point, she was in a lot of grief, and she was also going through chemotherapy at the time. So it was really a lot of layers to that situation and her well-being. So at that point, I kind of became an adult, I would say. I moved out a year later and went on my journey, moved from small town, I'll air quotes that, Waterloo, over to Toronto, and took on the big city and just decided who I wanted to be and what kind of life I wanted to live. Would have been really easy for me to stay in Waterloo and continue along at Wilfrid Laurier University. I was in my first year. I decided to take a year off. And take on the big city. And I remember driving around in my mom's 1996 Jetta. I mean, it was old at the time. I'm not dating myself that hard, but I was listening to the Abraham Hicks CDs at that time a lot, driving, you know, back and forth between Waterloo and Toronto and around the city, and just thinking, hey, you know, this is something interesting, and who can I be, and what do I want, and all of that sort of stuff. And as I continued to navigate my early 20s, I realized that, you know, life is not just a light switch that we can just say, this is what I want, and we just flick it on and it's that easy. I did quite well in school. So I figured when you get out of school, it should be the same way. You totally. Just study, write the test, get the grade. Simple, right?
Yes.
But it really isn't that simple. And I always wanted to help people. I studied psychology in university, and this became the pathway for me. I was like, this is what I need to speak to. There's so much expectation and pressure to just be successful and be perfect.
Right.
But how do we navigate all the things going on inside of us while we are on that path?
Absolutely.
While we're writing the 20 affirmations a day, what are the thoughts going through your head? What are the feelings going through your body? How do we make those affirmations effective?
Absolutely. And you also said just around this time that my juicy, authentic, wonderful life all started with healing my nervous system. How do you go about doing that?
Mm-hmm. That was a long road for me. I didn't fully understand what that meant for a very long time. I would actually admittedly say I didn't truly understand it until after I had children. I heard so much about it. I learned about it in school, but it didn't really fully land for me until, you know, it became more of a popular topic in the last few years. And I remember, you know, parenting my babies to sleep and feeling so stressed out that they wouldn't fall asleep, and thinking, oh, I just need to take some deep breaths right now.
Yeah.
What I didn't realize is that my nervous system was wired from a childhood full of trauma to be hypervigilant, and that my window of tolerance is very small for stress. And so I would get activated very easily. And I was wondering, like, why can I not be the calm mother I always thought that I wanted to be, you know? So how did I start healing? I started to learn more about the nervous system and what that truly requires. And how do you calm down a nervous system that has been so hijacked, you know, so many times for so many years? And there are some really tangible things. The three things that stick in my head as the three big ones are community.
Yes.
so important. So many of us are very disconnected from community. We don't even know really where to start. But once you focus on something, you know, you put your intention to it, you'll figure it out.
Yes.
And then exercise is a big one for nervous system.
Huge.
And this doesn't mean go crazy, do some really intense cardio or weightlifting. Yoga is very good for the nervous system.
Yes.
I actually went and got my yoga teacher training a couple years ago, something I always wanted to do.
Where did you do it? Where did you do it? Because I did it also.
Oh, I did it at Mula Yoga, which is actually close to Liberty Village down there.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. I did it at 889 Yoga, and then COVID happened. But I sort of took from it the meditation, and I'm still doing the meditation teaching. But I was more on the meditation side than the yoga. But isn't it wonderful to just get on your mat? It's a game changer.
It is. I have done a lot of yoga in the last few years. A lot. It's really carried me through. It's a very big part of my healing journey. So we had community, we had exercise, and nature is another really great one for the nervous system.
So true.
I love going for walks in nature.
It's so, so true what you're saying. It's so interesting. I just interviewed Jody Fishstein, who was my mentor at 889 Yoga Community. And she talked about nature, just being at her cottage, like in the summer, is the most healing thing of all. And just being with trees and near water. And we forget about that we really crave that. So that's wonderful. It is. It's so calming. I love the three that you've selected. They're absolutely correct. So there's also a number of people that you mention in the book and in your writings and in everything I've read about you who really helped you in your manifestation and self-compassion journey, one of which is Brené Brown. Can you tell us what it is specifically about Brené Brown's teachings that really resonated with you, that struck a chord and have really helped you so much?
Yeah, so Brené Brown's book, specifically The Gifts of Imperfection, I call it my Bible. And I have it as required reading for all of my clients, because the idea inside of the book is wholehearted living. And what wholehearted living really means is you're coming at life with your whole heart. And it's not about how much you do or don't do by the end of the day. It's knowing that you are still worthy of love and belonging.
Yes.
And that's what it comes down to. And I think that the concepts throughout the book, there's 10 guideposts in the book for wholehearted living. And what I took away from it and why it was so important for me is just this full permission to be a messy human and know that you're still worth it. You're still worth being loved. You know, that was a big issue for me in my mind, like removing the transactional piece from love. Like if I do these things, then I have worth, right? Because I couldn't, in my mind, I thought, well, if I just lay around like a slob all day, like who's going to respect me? Who's going to love me? Who's going to, but that's not the point.
No.
Right? That is not the point. Every single human has inherent worth and value.
Absolutely. Absolutely true. You also study Dr. Kristen Neff, who I also love. Like I loved your choices of people, a renowned expert in self-compassion. And her work has made a huge impact on you and your work, and as a result, your teachings to other people.
Yes.
Can you tell us about how self-compassion and how that relates to manifesting and to all of it?
Yeah. So resistance is the killer of all manifestation. I say this all the time. It's one of my main principles. And resistance mostly comes internally, right? And when we look at the biggest forms of resistance, that perfectionism, self-doubt, you know, the negative self-talk, the limiting beliefs, all of this can be soothed by self-compassion. It's like an antidote, you know, for all of those major resistance players. And self-compassion doesn't just mean, you know, patting yourself on the, you know, stroking your hair and saying, it's okay, honey. You know, the self-talk is one part of it. Okay. Loving kindness is one part of it. But what I really love about Dr. Kristen Neff's teachings is that she teaches the yin and the yang of self-compassion. Hmm. So she calls it fierce self-compassion on the opposite side of the warm fuzzies, right? Which we need both. And if you look at it from a feminine masculine perspective, we need that loving, nurturing mother energy in our lives and also inside of ourselves.
Yes.
We also need the firm, kind father figure inside of us. So that fierce self-compassion is, I think, where we miss when we are looking at that, okay, I'm gonna love myself and I'm gonna be, you know, kind to myself. And sometimes we're a little over permissive and we make excuses for why we can't go to the gym, or oh, I'm too tired, I'm being self-compassionate, or I'm this or I'm that, I'm being self-compassionate, which is not actually accurate.
Right.
Self-compassion also involves doing what's in your best interest.
Yes. Yes. So right. Lying in bed, like Mel Robbins will say, lying in bed for an extra 45 minutes and scrolling on your phone when you should get up and lace up and go for that walk, even for in nature, even for 15 to 20 minutes. It doesn't have to be this huge, big beluga. It can be just a walk, right?
Yep, exactly.
And I'm wondering, Millie, if you could tell me what you think about this, because as a life coach, I talk about this and I'm not sure if this is correct in this instance, but I'm just wondering, I said to Chelsea, our producer, who you met earlier, I think what Millie Fox is saying and what Dr. Kristen Neff is saying is, imagine your three-year-old self. So I said it to Chelsea, but I'm going to say it to you now. Your three-year-old Millie self, putting her inside of you, how would you treat that child? Would you be kind to her? Would you take her by the hand? Would you say, it's okay? You might be firm and say, we're going to figure this out. We're not just going to lie down and, you know, give up. We're going to figure this out, but let me take you by the hand. And you would take her by the hand and be kind to her.
Yep.
Right. Does that have, would you say that works with this whole?
Yeah, for sure. It's like I said, inner mother, inner father, right? This is reparenting, self-leadership, ultimately. The way I speak about manifestation is that your external reality is a direct reflection of your relationship with yourself.
Wow. Millie, do you have any advice for anyone pursuing their dreams with all of the ups and downs and ins and outs that come along with finding your bliss?
Having been through a lot of struggles in my own personal life, I have tools for this. This is what we do. Honestly, going back to your soul, I would say, going back to your soul and knowing in your heart of hearts that what you're doing is what you're put here to do. Why? Your why, right? You have to have something bigger than you to anchor into when you're going through struggles.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I would say is that all of the struggles that we go to, they are gifts that are given to us to help us expand our capacity, expand our vessel, to be able to hold what we're calling in, right? So when you are going through things, I personally have been studying Kabbalah lately.
Wow, that's beautiful.
And it's something I knew I would end up doing eventually at some point. You know, you just have those feelings like, I know this is meant for me and I was waiting for the right time. I recently actually converted to Judaism and I just knew that was going to end up being the next step. But the reason I bring this up is, what Kabbalah will tell you is to just pause and say, what a gift. Yoga will say the same thing too. If you look into, you know, the philosophy actually of yoga, which yoga is not just about, you know, postures and asanas, that delayed gratification of reactivity is where everything we want lies, right? Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? It means in that pause, we are rewiring ourselves to not feed the limiting belief, to not feed the fear. We just pause, we sit with it, and we say, what a gift. And saying what a gift, even if you don't believe it's a gift, if you're really like, oh, this sucks, right? Because I'm not about toxic positivity at all.
Yes.
Sometimes just saying it shifts the energy a little bit, right? And we're not trying to flip any switches. We're not trying to gaslight ourselves. We're just, I call it the manifestation wiggle. So it's like, how can I reorient myself? Like maybe I need to do a little, you know, dance or something, like a wiggly dance, just like reorient my energy to see what else is available for me. What other perspective could I hold that would feel even a little bit better? And then it will calm me down, get out of that fight or flight state. And then you will be able to have access to your inner voice, right? Mm-hmm. Your soul. Like your nervous system is such a huge part of all of this, right? Because when you're outside of your window of tolerance, you don't have access to like the feelings of gratitude, actually. Mm-hmm. You don't really have access to your creativity or really any of your frontal lobe.
Right? Yes, yes. Because you're so caught up in sometimes hurt and despair, yeah, and sadness and frustration that, mm-hmm, you don't have access. So pausing is lovely.
And then this most self-compassionate question that exists is, what do I need?
Yes.
What do I need? And you can play in curiosity as well, which curiosity is very, very powerful for manifestation because it completely shifts. It's not forcing positivity. Mm-hmm. Curiosity is simply, I wonder what could be coming down the line. I wonder what this means for me. I wonder how this is shaping me into the right, person for where I'm headed.
Artist, person.
Whatever it is, it's that, I wonder what tricks the universe has in store for me, or surprises the universe has in store for me. And that just lightens things right up.
I love that. By the way, everyone, we are going to dive into the manifestation guide because it's so fabulous. And I know I'm teasing it a little bit, but I want to give this context. You've also said, Millie, and thank you for that. That was such a lovely explanation of all this. You've said that one of the most pivotal things in discovering how not to get rid of the parts of you thought you were holding back was a concept called existential kink, a process found in a book of the same title by a woman named Carolyn Elliott. What exactly is the idea behind existential kink?
This is another powerful perspective shift. It's really taking the concept of self-acceptance to an extreme, and it's playful, which I really enjoy. It leads you through the process of figuring out what pleasure you're actually deriving from a negative aspect of your behavior or your personality.
Wow.
So I could give an example of this. I was never allowed to feel spoiled as a child. Okay. Mm-hmm. Being spoiled is like the worst thing you could possibly,
yes,
be, right?
Yes.
I didn't get to ask for things. I didn't get gifts like out of nowhere. We didn't have much money at all growing up, like very, very tight budget, nothing extravagant whatsoever. So when I grew up and I married, had my babies, I was in a position where I wasn't working full time and wasn't making as much money. And I was getting into my business and I was reading this book and I was thinking, why is it that I'm having such a struggle making as much money as I want to make?
Yes.
And I realized that I was deriving pleasure very much so for the first time in my life, allowing myself to feel like a spoiled little girl, right? And maybe I wasn't actually fully being spoiled when I found that source of the kink, like it's referred to in the book, right? It unlocked something and I was like, oh, okay, I get it. This is what I love so much about not making money.
Right.
And then you can flip it on its head and you can say, okay, well, what if I loved it even more to spoil myself or whatever it is?
Like expand it, blow it up. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Exactly. Cool. Yeah, very powerful. And you can do that process on basically anything that's causing you discomfort.
And so what did that do for you by blowing it up and just like going with it and just expanding on it?
It releases the resistance,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That internal judgment and resistance. And it's like, oh, okay, I get it. That inner five-year-old in me just wants to feel spoiled. So yeah, what's wrong with that?
I want that Barbie in the aisle and I'm going to buy it this time and the clothes.
Yeah, yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah, permission. I think permission is one of the biggest things that we need. Yeah.
I can really relate to what you're saying, by the way. Very similar kind of background. By the way, your manifestation guide, I know I've said this all throughout, but I really want to get into it now. Can you share with our listeners exactly what MEAT guide stands for and how does it all work?
Yes. So it's the MEAT guide. It's a practice you can really sink your teeth into. And MEAT stands for manifest everything actionably and tangibly.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love that.
I think that's great. And we're going to learn all about the incredible MEAT guide when we come back after this short commercial break. We'll be right back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
We are back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, and we're here with manifestation expert and coach, Millie Fox. And what we're talking about is her incredible meet guide, which stands for Manifest Everything Actionably and Tangibly. And before we hear about this incredible workbook, I just want to thank our segment sponsor, Ashford Cleaners. Thanks to Ashford Cleaners for sponsoring this segment of Finding Your Bliss. Ashford Cleaners is Toronto's best dry cleaner with hand-finished detailing, laundry, tailoring, you name it, and they'll take care of it while always going the extra mile to make sure that you leave with a smile on your face. And they also offer you free pickup and delivery, so it's easy to keep your entire closet ship-shape and ready to go. Thanks, Ashford. You're the best. So it's complete, the meet guide with really delightful, thought-provoking, and wonderful questions.
I have to tell you, I just want to say this to our listeners, I was like loving this, like especially the 111 things, that, which we'll get to in a minute. Wow. But it's wonderful questions that combine intentional inquiry, mindful exploration, actionable steps, really great tips, techniques, and actionable steps, and self-compassion to create lasting and meaningful change in your life. I love your first question. I'm a coach, so I got it. Who are you? Because you say that identity is important, if not the most important part of manifestation. Can you explain?
Yeah, well, I already did say that your reality, your external reality, is a direct reflection of your relationship with yourself.
Right.
And most manifestation teachings will just dive straight into what do you want, right? Mm-hmm. What do you want to manifest? But if you're not manifesting from a place that is truly in alignment with your authentic self, with your values, with your soul, it's not going to work out.
Right.
It may manifest, but you're not going to feel the way you want it to feel. And there's a good chance that you won't even hold on to whatever it is because it's just not aligned, right? Mm-hmm. So I always start every manifestation process and course and teaching that I have with the identity work. So we need to start with, I teach three levels of identity to help you break it down because identity is a complex topic. It's, yes. You know, what do you mean? Who am I? What kind of question is that? Right.
Right.
But when we start to dig into it and pull it apart, deconstruct it, there's the three levels that I teach, which are your human self, which is, you know, exactly as it sounds, the yes. one that's here with all its coping mechanisms and, you know, quirks and kinks and whatever else you want to call them.
Yes.
And then there's your vortex self, which is essentially the version of you that exists in the realm of potential and possibility. So on all the different timelines that are available, that is already, those versions of you are all there, right? Mm-hmm. And then we have your source self.
Yes.
Which is your soul. This is the unchangeable OG consciousness part of you that really is the most connected to your creative power and your purpose and your inner guidance, your direct pathway to the creator, to God, to universe, whatever it is you want to call it. So when we start to dig into those three different aspects of you, you got to ask yourself, what is my relationship with this part of me? And how do I have moments of connection with that part of me day to day. What does that look like? How do I foster it? How well do I know that part of me? How kind am I to that part of me? How much do I listen to that part of me? How much do I respect this part of me? How much do I trust? Oh, nice. Self-trust is a huge, huge thing that I won't stop talking about.
Nice, nice. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I've got to tell you that made me feel euphoric and blissful, everyone, and this is where you got to get this book. I love the question, what do you want? Because as a bliss coach, this is the most popular question I ask clients. And in this, you suggest, you give people permission to use the space to list 111 things that you want and desire. Mm-hmm. And this exercise made me feel exultant. I started doing it with Chelsea, our producer, yesterday. Can you say more on why we should list 111 things of what we desire and why we need to take a week to complete it? And I know this because I got up to 27. I'm like, whoa.
It sounds like it would be easy, right? But then you start and this, every single one of my clients comes back to me and tells me the same reflection is that they didn't realize how difficult it was going to be to come up because you start to get past all of the material things that you want. And then you start to go like, and then you start to have this inner conversation about, okay, well, am I allowed to want this? Or how specific can I get? Or what else is there? What other realms of desire exist that aren't just, oh, I want a new car, a house, a job, a New York Times bestselling novel. And then you have to really start going deeper is really the point of the exercise to look at your relationship with desire. And, you know, so many people, the pattern of success, they get to a certain level of success and then they start to have this existential crisis. It's like, well, what now?
Right.
What means something to me?
Right.
And that's, I think that's what that exercise sort of leads you in the direction of.
What I also just love about it is it gives you permission to ask for so many things that you want and need on so many different levels. Like I just think of the bliss wheel of life and how you can really deepen your wish list, if you will, in all of the areas from health and fitness to your spiritual self to your relationships to the sky's the limit. And you're giving permission for people to actually do this. I think that's a very big key to making it work is just to figure out exactly what you want. And you'll see the patterns of what's the most important, what keeps coming up to the top of the list. Is it fame?
Exactly.
Is it a better relationship, more love? What is it exactly? Part three in your book is about what's getting in the way. Can you say more about what's getting in the way of achieving your dreams according to the research of Brené Brown and all the work that you've done as well?
Yeah. So this is where the resistance piece comes up, right? This is where we have, you know, perfection rearing its ugly head, where we have shame, where we have judgment, all of these different things that internally end up blocking us from being who we want to be and from being able to take the actions that we want to take. So leads me back to the self-compassion piece and the self-trust piece is another one that we haven't really dove too far into, but a lot of the resistance can come up around, you know, self-doubt can actually be an issue of self-trust because many of us, women for sure, men also have been encouraged to abandon themselves and betray themselves constantly.
Yes.
There's people pleasing, you know, there's societal expectations.
Yes.
And let's talk about these two words for a second, because they're pretty intense words to say, self-abandonment and self-betrayal. I remember when I first considered that, I was like, whoa, am I really doing that to myself? But if you had a friend that didn't keep their word to you on a consistent basis, was flaky, didn't show up when they said they would show up, made appointments and canceled last minute, how would you feel about that person?
Yeah.
You know, you
wouldn't trust. The trust is shaky, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The trust. And then the trust bleeds into confidence in that person.
Yeah.
Into the esteem that you hold that person in. You know, it bleeds into every other area. So if you are not going to the gym when you say you're going to go to the gym,
right,
or you're not going to bed when you say you're going to go to bed,
right,
your word has to be very, very sacred to you. And another thing too is taking risks. It builds a lot of self-trust. A lot of people wait to feel certainty before they take action, or they want to feel clarity before they take action because they feel like it's too risky. But
yes,
action actually breeds clarity. Action breeds certainty.
Absolutely.
And that is the aspect of taking risks that's so great, because then once you take the risk, you prove to yourself one of two really important things. You prove to yourself that A, you're resilient, and K, it didn't work out, but I can still move on. Or B, wow, look, I'm courageous and things work out when I'm courageous. Yes. Look at the benefits that my courage has given me. And then you become emboldened because you trust yourself more you're able to take bigger risks and put yourself out there, be more visible, put yourself forth for larger opportunities, get in rooms, with more opportunities. All of these things happen.
That's so great. Oh yeah. I just love this. It's like sometimes you have to take that deep breath and jump, get outside of your comfort zone. And, I think about this with people I know who've given TED Talks and have stood on that red circle and they've been petrified about doing it. But doing it has been a game changer, right? Like so many things, or jumping out of a hot air balloon or whatever, like all the things that you do that you go, oh my God, I don't know if I can do this. And then you do it, you feel like, wow, I can do anything. I achieved that. I circumvented that challenge. So you also, I just want to say to everyone also, this manifestation guide is all pinks and yellows. It's so pretty. It's so inviting and it's user friendly. And you address all of it, including what you need to do to take the next step. You say that manifestation is a co-creative process. What do you mean by that?
So we're not just playing God when we're manifesting, right? So this is a differentiator here in the way that I teach manifestation, because we start with the identity work, right? And we start with the connection to soul.
Yes.
So a lot of people will hesitate around manifestation if they are religious, deeply religious, because they'll think, oh, I'm not supposed to play God. This is, blasphemous or whatever they'll think, or sinful or whatever. But if you are aligning with your soul and you are speaking to, you're using prayer. I'm a big advocate for prayer. And to me, prayer is not, getting down on the corner of the bed and saying the usual. For me, prayer is a constant conversation with the Creator. It's a gratitude, but it's also asking, not, hey, can you please give me $1,000 more this month? It's, hey, who do I need to become? Please show me what I need to do next. Please guide me. It's a co-creative process, because you're also not shouldering all of this yourself, right? It's part of a greater plan. You are not in a vacuum,
right?
You are part of an intricate web of consciousness, and you play a very important role. So you need to be open to direction.
Yes.
Something I really love is the prayer from A Course in Miracles.
Marianne Williamson, of course.
Marianne Williamson made it popular, Her book, A Return to Love, was very good. But the prayer goes something like this. Dear God, angels, universe, where would you have me go? What would you have me do? What would you have me say? And to whom? Wow. And then, you kind of follow it up with, I'm open to seeing things differently. I'm open to a perspective change. So the definition of a miracle, according to A Course in Miracles, is a shift of perspective in the direction of love.
Wow.
That is the definition of it. So being open to, it's like you can almost imagine you have these like blinders on like a horse, and you're taking them off. And I usually, when I say the prayer, I open my hands up and I open my body language, my posture up. And I just say, I'm open to seeing things differently. I'm open to, I'm handing over this problem to you, or I'm surrendering over this problem to you. And then, you feel that wave of relief. And when you feel relief, you're always moving in the right direction. So
that's fabulous. I used to have a very dear friend who's tragically and sadly passed away, and she really was like an angel on this planet. And she used to say, she used to say, when something is too big, just give it over to God. Mm-hmm. Like, share this with me.
Yeah, exactly. And Kabbalah says, you know, darkness is not actually an absence of light. It's an excess of light. It's so much light that we have to like shield ourselves from it. And so we start to experience negativity or pain or shame in order to expand our vessel to have the capacity to actually hold all of that light.
Wow. We got to do another episode on Kabbalah. It's a whole other topic we've got to do. I also love, Millie, that you get into this idea, and this happens a lot with coaching when you get off track. Like, so for me, it's someone has found their bliss.
Yep.
And then they lose their bliss.
Oh, yeah. This happens.
It's so common. Can you speak to this? Getting off track.
Yeah. So we're going to get off track, because how boring would it be if we just got on one track and stayed on it forever, right?
Right.
I think that, okay, so my belief is that consciousness, humans, we came here to expand, right?
Right.
And there's no way to expand if you have no contrast that you encounter. Mm-hmm. Without the contrast, you can't refine your desire,
right?
You can't become more of who you're meant to be if you're only experiencing bliss all the time.
Right.
So that's why we pause and say, what a gift, because it's like, okay, what is this teaching me? What am I about to learn or refine, or what new perspective am I going to have? And now the last few years for me have not been easy. I know this is not in the book, because the book was published right around the time where this was all kind of brewing. And I don't think I've mentioned any of it in there, but I lost my mom November of 2020. I'm really bad with this. 22. And then in January of 2023, I separated from my 13-year relationship, nearly 10 years married.
Wow.
So it was very back to back. And, you know, I moved out and it was a whole new world for me. And I'm just landing, barely landing at this point. I'm in a beautiful new relationship, you know, 3 years later, blending families and taking on a whole new set of interesting challenges of becoming a new woman in this life. And I've had to have these conversations with myself so many times. I'm like, oh, well, it's so interesting that I felt I was in an unhappy marriage, but I felt very much parts of myself that now I feel like, oh, where did those parts go?
Oh, yes.
And I want them back, because those were really vibrant parts of me.
Yes.
And so I had to have this conversation with myself. I'm like, oh, you know, when you get those parts of you back, they're going to be more powerful than ever.
Wow.
You know, those parts are being refined, you know, that, you know, there's not gone, you know, they're not.
They're dormant. They're lying dormant and they're waiting for the right place to land. Right.
Maybe they're in a cocoon, right?
Maybe
they're
yes.
become even beautiful, more big and bold butterflies. But right. I just have to trust divine timing. And I always go back into trusting myself and prayer and not judging myself for the coping mechanisms that I've, you know, leaned on in the last few years. And it's really taking it off your shoulders and coming back to that co-creation piece.
That's so awesome. This is not what I was planning to talk about, but I'm just curious, because I had this discussion with a friend all the time, the difference between prayer and meditation. And this friend of mine always says prayer is way deeper. Meditation's great, but prayer is much deeper. Just very briefly, because I have so much more I want to ask you about. What is the difference between the two, in your opinion?
It depends on the type of meditation that you're doing, really. And there isn't also one type of prayer, right? But meditation, I find, is a refinement of your relationship with your thoughts. That's the way I view it. It's creating more space for yourself. It's creating more presence, more capacity to separate yourself from the monkey mind stuff that's always going to be going on. So it really is, it's empowering. Meditation, it's empowering. Prayer is many things. I would say prayer is really about your relationship with that greater aspect of who we are, right? Mm-hmm. It's knowing that you're connected and you're never alone. And it's also deepening your self-trust, because sometimes there's a lot of debate about this kind of stuff. Like people will say, oh, I channeled this, or I downloaded it from the universe or God.
Right.
And other people will say, how do you know that's not just your own inner thoughts or your intuition? Like, how do you separate that from your intuition? And my thought is, it's all the same thing.
Right.
It's absolutely. Your inner voice is your inner voice. It's coming from somewhere that is more resourced than you.
Yes.
Whether you want to call that your higher self, whether you want to call that spirits, whether you want to call it God, I don't know who you want to say is talking to you, but somebody with more resources is speaking to you when you can get quiet. And when you meditate, you actually have more capacity to hear those wise words that are available to you on the inside.
That's so, so fascinating. All of this is really so interesting. We're going to hear more from manifestation coach and expert Millie Fox when we come back. We'll be right back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Statements made and opinions expressed on Finding Your Bliss belong to the host and guests on her show.
We are back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, FM 96.7. And I'm here with manifestation expert and coach Millie Fox. Millie, I want to ask you about the RAIN acronym.
Can you explain mm-hmm. how the RAIN acronym works and why it's one of your favorites?
Yeah, so the RAIN acronym is a self-compassion practice, one of the most popular ones. It's so easy to remember and easy to call upon. So R stands for recognize. Mm-hmm. So this is simply just, you know, a name it to tame it type situation.
Yes.
Like, here's how I'm feeling. Here's where I'm feeling it in my body. You know, I'm feeling this way. And to allow it. Mm-hmm. So release the resistance, non-judgment, yes. Just, okay, I'm feeling this way. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. You know, we're starting from where we're starting from.
Yeah.
And then I is investigate.
Curiosity so, again. That's like curiosity. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So investigate. Where is this coming from?
Yeah.
What's the story that I'm telling myself here that maybe is not true? Or, you know, what happened that's causing me to feel this way?
Nice.
You know, it's just a little inquiry there. I'm like, hey, what's really going on right now inside of me? And then N stands for nurture.
Mm.
So this comes back to that question I shared earlier, the most compassionate question that exists, which is, what do I need? Mm. It's crazy how cut off we actually all are from our own desires and needs.
Yes.
So what I've had my clients do many times in the past is you can literally Google, now you can ChatGPT, what is a list of, you know, 20 or 30 top human needs? And you can kind of start going over the list if you're feeling certain ways and go, like, oh, which one of these, you know, feels like something I need right now?
That is really, really cool. I mean, there's so much to this. You connected with the love of your life after you got divorced, and you mm-hmm. actually were able to do this through manifestation. How did mm-hmm. manifestation play a part in this? Did you actually visualize, this is the kind of person that I want to be with? They're going to be dark. They're going to be this. They're going to be that.
Oh, I made a big list. I made a massive list. I think it had like 90 something pieces on it.
Wow.
But it wasn't like I had this checklist out when I started dating. I'll be more honest with you. What really led me to the love that I have now is all the work I did to become the woman I was that led up to my divorce, to be honest with you, because I wasn't the woman who could even leave 5 years prior,
wow.
right? I had to become the woman who had enough trust in herself, who had enough respect for herself to say, I can't live this way. Mm-hmm. And not to say I didn't give it everything I had to try to become the woman who could shift her marriage,
yes,
right? But ultimately, everything I did, all of the self-growth work, healing work that I did allowed me to leave the marriage, also allowed me to become the person who could attract a healthy relationship.
That's really amazing.
Yeah.
You even say you doubled your income in the first year of your new relationship, even after losing your mom. And again, I'm so mm-hmm. sorry to hear that. What was it that helped you be so successful suddenly in your career? Was it just that you were happier?
Well, it was, I had full permission to be myself, first of all. Yes. I really didn't have that previously,
yes,
for multiple reasons, some self-imposed, some not so, didn't feel so self-imposed. And I dropped a lot of the stories that I was carrying around what I could and couldn't do to make money. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm an entrepreneur,
yes,
but I had a very narrow view of like what was the right way to bring an income as an entrepreneur. And if I deviated outside of that, then I had given up or failed, or I wasn't as committed to my vision as I, air quotes, should be. So I just gave myself more permission, and it just allowed so many other opportunities to show up for me that ended up developing this whole new skill set for myself that I don't think I'd be where I am now if I hadn't given myself that permission. Because I'd had opportunities in the past and just said, like, I can't do that. I have to focus on this. I can't do that. And kind of almost feeling this like self-righteousness. I always say, like, watch out. Self-righteousness is a huge red flag.
Oh my gosh.
Whenever you are feeling that way, take a big pause.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's-
yeah. And I want to say one more thing on the love aspect of it. Because I did make my list. I'm not going to say all of the work was just, you know, 5 years prior of me digging into all this healing, because it's a little discouraging for some people. Like, oh, I have to heal for 5 years before I can attract love. No, but it's really shifting into the belief that that is available for you,
right?
The certainty of there is somebody there for me. We live in a world of billions of people. People find love all the time. And I felt so much happiness and excitement around that possibility that every night I would fall asleep alone in my bed after I, you know, did all my cocooning rituals and things that I was doing at that point in my life. And I would just imagine falling asleep, how I wanted to feel in that person's arms.
Wow.
And I would just, it would help me drift off to sleep in the most beautiful way possible.
Wow.
And I think, honestly, I feel like those feelings were what attracted my partner. And I ended up connecting with him the weekend that I moved out. We didn't meet for another 6 months because it just wasn't the right time. But we connected the weekend I moved out of the, you know, marital home. So
that's a powerful thing. So by you being brave and by you doing all of the work that you did, and by you manifesting and dreaming and imagining what it felt like, you actually were able to feel it. So now when you're in his arms, do you have that feeling that you had in the dreams?
All the time. I'm
so
still
cool.
Just like, oh, this is the best place in the world.
Isn't that one? I'm really happy for you. That's beautiful. You do all kinds of really, really cool things. I just very quickly, before we get to the end, what are some of the, I mean, there's this meat guide, which I have to tell everybody,
yes,
manifest everything actionably, tangibly, how to create a manifestation practice you can sink your teeth into and ditch the fluff. How do people get access to this and to some of the mini courses and the larger courses that you offer?
Honestly, you can just DM me on Instagram with the word meat, M-E-A-T, and it will automatically send you the guide for free. It's a free 22-page guide.
Okay.
You can DM me also the word menu. Okay, so if you DM me the word menu, all these little options are going to pop up in Instagram, all the you know, other freebies and things I have going on right now.
Great.
And, you know, I'll have a chat with you too. I'm in my DMs all the time, and
great,
I can update you at that point, you know, as to what's the latest and greatest.
That's so fantastic. What is the greatest golden nugget, Millie, that you want people to get from your manifestation workbook and also just from all the work that you do around manifestation? If you had to choose one, I know there's many, but one golden nugget, what would it be?
I just want people to know that they get to be completely human and still have everything they want and all of the love that they want. They get to have all of it. You get to have all of it. Maybe don't put all the pressure on yourself to have it all at once, you know, but you get to make this life exactly what you want it to be. And you get to be exactly who you are.
What is bliss for Millie Fox?
Well, I think about this a lot, actually. Lately, bliss has really been slowing down for me. Nice. And just the nature part has been, I love that. I'm going up to the cottage tomorrow. Nice. And I'm going to be barefoot in my bathing suit, in the lake, tanning, feeling the grass all week. And I can't wait.
That's so wonderful. I want to really thank you so much for being with us today. It's really been an honor to have you here. And I knew this would be so helpful to people. And guys, I tell you, take advantage of writing to Millie. How do we get in touch with you on social media? What is your exact handle? How can people connect with you and ask for the meet guide and maybe to connect with you further for a one-on-one, for a coaching session, a talk, or one of your courses?
Yeah. My handle is Millie Fox, MilliFox. There's no E, no Y. It's Amelie.
That's great. Wonderful. Yeah. That's so, so wonderful. Thank you, Millie. That was fun.
Thank you.
I loved it. Each week we spotlight a fabulous person like Millie Fox, who is living their bliss, but also helping other people connect to their bliss. And I find that so great. So if you are an author, artist, yoga, meditation, mindfulness expert, therapist, life coach, or really anyone who has found and is following their bliss, we'd love to hear from you. We also love to feature singers and songwriters on this show. If you're a singer, please reach out to us. Also, what did you love about today's program? Are there any guests or topics you'd like us to feature on Finding Your Bliss? Just write to us at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. For those of you who don't know, I'm also the Bliss Coach. That means I help you gain clarity, get unstuck, find your passion and purpose. You can also reach out to me on findingyourbliss.com/coaching. I'm also on Insight Timer. We did some breathing off the top. That's the number one free meditation app. Just search me up under Judy Liebrack. And of course, you can always follow us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook.
I would like to thank our wonderful guest, Millie Fox, for being on the show today. Also, thank you to Mag Ruffman, Siobhan Kylie, producer Chelsea Lockstead, Eva Shabatai, Olivia Vigiani, audio engineer Juliana Yannicello, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky, video editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, audio producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsor, the Create Fertility Center, and also to our segment sponsor, Ashford Cleaners. For everyone here, I'm Judy Liebrack, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.